All right.
Hey.
Well, welcome to the quarantine edition of Cambridge Inside Out.
Yes. It's the first.
I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And today is April 16th, 2020.
Yes.
And, and the adventure continues.
Right. Now, Robert, so I see you. Am I next to you, Robert? Because on my computer, I'm not. But.
Right. Well, I think what you see is the other two. So, okay. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. That's fine.
All right. So that's fine. So I just, when I'm talking, you're full screen, whatever. I don't really care.
All right. We'll do okay. All right. So anyway, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I think
it's Cambridge Upside Down. I think it's Cambridge Upside Down.
Well, I think Inside Out is sort of appropriate. We're a lot more inside than outside now.
Well, that's a good point too. You're right.
To be sure.
You're right.
And, you know, certainly plenty of things to talk about. You know, it's been a while since we were back here doing broadcasts. So definitely things worth saying.
It was March 10th was our last show.
Right. And I hope everybody's sort of going around with their masks and
or you got a very technical one. I have one of those, but I'm not allowed out in the stores, according to my daughter. So I wear my cloth and I was given a bandana, and that's good. Yeah.
I actually have the masks because we had been doing work on the house
and
we were doing sanding of plaster dust and
absolutely.
Such. Absolutely. Yeah. So she had the masks for that.
I know. We found out we had them too because of David's constructions. I have to. I'm saving it if I have to go to a doctor or something, you know.
Anyway, plenty of things to talk about. One of the things I think is maybe worth doing, and I think maybe even we'll put up a little bit of a graphic to illustrate this a little bit.
Yeah.
Is the thought of this, you know, for anybody who goes out on the street there many times a day where it's a completely different, almost surreal sort of existence. I just want to give it a little quick illustration of that.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the, you know, the sort of horrifying reality.
Yes.
The fact that, you know, there is actual sickness and death associated with this terrible, terrible virus. But I also just want to point out here, and again, some of these are just sort of cribbed off the internet. But people have been posting pictures of just what the city is like on any given day. This was like in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it was rainy, but just Harvard Square, which is just empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yet another one looking the other way, just empty.
Yeah.
Right. This is, I think, are some of your photos, Katie.
Right. That's one of them. I have many others, but we can do it another time. But yeah, I mean, everyone says it's so crowded out there on the sidewalks, but you know, just, you can see that was April 7th, I think.
Yeah. But many, many days, many hours of the day. It's just nothingness.
Right.
You know, down here.
Did I send you that one too? I think that's mine too. That's by MIT.
I think that is. Exactly.
MIT just the other day. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, and these are like, you know, oftentimes middle of the day. You know, it's really like a scenes from a Twilight Zone episode.
It's in the afternoon. Right. Now, people complain about, you know, the sidewalks being crowded. Now, granted, if you go on look at that turkey.
You know, one of the kind of more sort of comical things as part of this horrible, horrible time is that I actually saw some images in one of the neighboring towns of a wolf running down the middle of the street.
A wolf?
No, excuse me. It was actually a coyote.
I was going to say coyotes I know about. Yeah.
Yeah. And then this is right here in the middle of Harvard Square, just turkeys. You know, you do see the occasional turkey, but.
Yeah, yes.
But they're just sort of walking around like they own the place.
Well, they do. Yeah. Look at that.
Many, many ways. I actually I hadn't been out in days. And today I'm out for a little bit of a walk.
So is this from today?
Well, actually, this is one from today at City Hall.
Get out. So, look at that.
So the turkeys are taking over City Hall now.
Oh, gosh. That's a terrible metaphor.
And, you know, the amazing thing is now people try and go, yeah, okay, fine. More wildlife, you know.
Yeah.
There we go. Right. But, I'm just sort of popping through a few of these images right here. And
I'll
come back to it in a minute. But. You know, just to sort of show that, you know, some of the harsh realities of this not only impacts on housing and construction, but businesses. A lot of people focus on the restaurants, but, you know, businesses all up and down, Central Square, Harvard Square, everywhere really are really suffering. So anyway, I'm going to come back out to me now. Hopefully we're back now. I hope.
I guess so. True? I mean, I thought I'd be side by side with you, but Seth can.
Yeah, it's a little navigating. Yeah,
what do you see on your computer? Do you see yourself or do you see me?
Now I see you and another window. Yeah. And hopefully you see me then. All right.
So,
that's just sort of visually, you know, when you're sort of out and about, you know, what are you seeing? Right. But I think there's a lot to be said for how a city, and especially a city, is actually responding to this crisis that nobody could have wished on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not just talking about the local elected officials, but the city manager. Yep. I'd have to say personally, our current mayor, Sumbul Siddiqui, has really stepped up and distinguished herself majestically.
Can I just say something? Wait, in reference to that, because I've been listening to the city council meetings, really torturous, especially public comment, and anybody that can navigate that and carefully negotiate that deserves a medal. And she's done phenomenally well with that. I don't know if you've listened. It's very hard. Some people are, you know, they're not there or you can't hear them. And then it's just been amazing. It really has.
Yeah, I think, it's a steep learning curve. Those of us who are actually using Zoom to teach classes, you know, the first ones are a little awkward, but after a while you acclimate, you know. So now when I do my lectures, I'm doing it almost as efficiently as I would if I was doing a regular class.
I think the Zoom public comments, it's just a little different than regular Zoom, because I've done Zoom meetings and they pretty go smoothly. This is different because because the whole meeting isn't in Zoom. Different.
I've skipped out on the public comment part of it.
I know
it.
You.
That's the performance art part of the meeting. Yeah.
Well, but it's been interesting. It really has. I mean.
You know, one of the things that I can't have to admit I never fully understood, and I think maybe I still don't fully understand, because depending on how you read the city charter.
Yeah.
If there's a declared emergency, as long as the city council gives the go-ahead, who's basically the boss? Now, during normal times, it's clearly the city manager, but there is wording in the charter that says that the mayor actually takes on this authority.
Really?
You know, in a declared emergency. Hmm. And I think of that only because it seems to me that whenever you get a notice from the city, it always says the city manager and Mayor Siddiqui.
Oh, they are like, they're the couple. Yep.
They are definitely joined at the hip and, six part, of course.
Exactly. Right. With masks on.
Yes. Yeah. But the thing is that I don't know that it's entirely clear who holds authority. So they basically says, okay, we'll just we'll make the announcements jointly by default, and we'll worry about the other details at some other time. You know, so that's been a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like the police commissioner, head of DPW, Louis, human services, mayor, you know, they all meet every day because those are really your services that need to be attended to, you know?
Yeah.
City council is important, but in this realm, it really comes down to department heads and how we run the city and things that have to get done. And, you know, I think it supersedes that.
Yeah, and I think the city council definitely has a policy-making role. There have been times, thankfully they don't do it too much. Yeah. Where I actually heard the word, I don't forget who coined it, but it might have been Anthony Galluccio, who was making reference to corona agendas, which is, you know, where people are capitalizing on a crisis in order to sort of push things.
Yes.
And I think in the very early weeks of this, there was at least a little hint of that starting to happen, but it was immediately squelched.
Hmm.
And for the most part, I have to say the councilors, with a few notable exceptions, are tending to kind of stay on point. It's a little awkward sometimes when they seem to be trying to second guess, public health people, police commissioner, city manager, which I think, if I'm detecting it correctly, has led to like a little bit of tension, but I think thankfully our mayor is pretty good at sort of stepping that down.
And, yes.
I give her a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. Helpful to have her legal background in negotiation law, I think.
Absolutely true. Yeah. you know, one other aspect of this entire horrible period of time is that it actually tends to highlight certain things that, you know, that people talked about in the abstract prior to this. You know, for example, things like a so-called digital divide.
Yes.
You know, or, you know, disparities between people of various stations in life.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, does that stuff brought into clear focus in the midst of this.
Absolutely. You're right. It's paycheck to paycheck people. What else? Healthcare. You know, you lose your employer-based healthcare. Boy, if this is not brought out, how not such a good idea that is sometimes.
And I really hope that gets addressed.
Yeah. And what's the other one? There was another one that's really, well, the digital divide is like, wow. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I guess the city did set up hotspots for kids that is that what happened?
They did that. I think it was probably only because it's the only practical way to do it. It probably did it near a lot of public housing developments.
Right. Because the kids get the Chromebooks from high school. I don't know what the younger kids do. And I mean, I don't really know how I must say I did not read any. I know Sumbel, I guess, presented some minutes from the school committee the last. So I don't know if they talked about that, about, you know, what that's been like for the kids.
It's definitely part of the ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
I heard, I think it might have been from Anthony Galluccio, but it could have been from elsewhere, that in the city of Boston, somebody said, and again, I didn't bother to verify this, but that a rather significant percentage of students, you know, I guess that they're transitioning to the online learning.
Yeah.
About half or more at like Boston High School had not yet logged in. So,
wait, you mean they had the capability and they didn't log in?
No, I don't know if they did or didn't, because I know in Cambridge we're distributing Chromebooks, but you know, a lot of
done something, but you're right, there's a lot more kids there, a lot more.
Yeah, so you know, it's really clear, and I don't know whether that's in terms of education,
absolutely,
but you know, it just seems to me that you know. Those who talk about municipal broadband or never mind municipal broadband, internet access in whatever manner that can
be. Absolutely crucial.
It, you know, and the thing is schools, you know, schooling just grinds to a halt without it now.
And you know, do you think that for the future, there is going to be a lot of online teaching?
I think so. You know, we actually had a meeting of the Harvard Extension School faculty today.
Yeah.
For the first time in 100 years.
What?
The extension school doesn't actually work the way a traditional school. We don't have departments.
Yeah.
Faculties just pretty much do their own courses. So there's never really a meeting of the faculty. And I don't think there ever was one until today at 4:30.
Really? Amazing.
We had 86 people online in a Zoom meeting.
And how
actually,
was it?
It was actually pretty fabulous. You know, and the thing is, an example of something that I'll bet you will continue even after all of this passes, because it was actually relatively easy to implement, and it was effective, and it was a pretty good bonding experience for those of us who are actually teaching classes there.
Right.
You know, I think for me personally, making the transition has been interesting.
Uh-huh.
I was lucky for my Harvard class because we already had pre-recorded lectures from when I did the course in the past.
Yeah.
So I could just pretty much just, you know, roll tape, right? But the type of interaction with students, it's a very different kind of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it actually works better. I was making the point that the introverted students might be just quiet in a classroom.
Yes.
But now you have this ability for them to actually be just as interactive as others.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some very interesting aspects about this. Terrible thing.
I mean, I think hopefully some good will come out of it. And I've even, you know, I read a lot, I watch a lot, probably more than you do, but I have heard, you know, some people say people may embrace more socialistic kind of ideas because they realize the inequality is so obvious right now to see who's dying and who's not that it's just hard to deny it anymore. And that maybe we definitely need a more compassionate leader. That's for sure.
That is absolutely for sure.
An empathic, compassionate leader. And right now, I mean, in the background, I have CNN on. I don't have the captions where that excuse for a president, it, you know, just he holds court for 2 hours a night.
I never watch it.
Well, I know. I have to. I just feel like I have to keep in the know, but it's just awful. It's just really awful.
I do watch some of the updates from Andrew Cuomo in New York.
Oh, he's great.
You know, like honestly, a person who works in New York,
right. Yeah.
He is the essence of the better part of being a New Yorker.
You're right.
He's a straight shooter, you know, right to you, doesn't sugarcoat it, but somehow manages to still be reassuring.
You're right. He brought up something this morning, his press. I'll have to think of it because it was something. Oh, Beetle Bailey or somebody, some reference. He said, well, if you don't know who that is, you should know it. Oh, no, I know what it was. Dragnet. Just the facts.
He had a
photo of, is it Jack?
Joe Webb? Friday.
Joe Friday.
Jack Webb played Joe Friday. Yeah.
Right. And he said, if you didn't know who he was, you should know.
Just
the facts. It was
classic New York. Yeah, absolutely true.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the other things that that occurs to me, you know, you see some of these stories, I think one today of farmers with cows where they were just dumping milk because they didn't have a way of getting milk to market.
Milk and
you know, and everything's been changed because normally they're delivering it to schools, but the schools aren't open.
Fresh produce, everything. I don't get the distribution system to get those products. I don't know.
It's funny because not funny, but you know, people were talking about whether it was Envision Cambridge or some of the various other task forces that have talked about Cambridge over the last few years. They throw around words like resiliency and sustainability.
Yeah.
But it's an abstraction.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really strikes me in a big, big way here is how words that were once abstract are now absolutely front and center and very real.
Right.
You know, so how resilient food delivery mechanisms nationally and locally.
Right.
You know, I think about now when we need to go get some groceries, right? We have to plan for going grocery shopping and hope that there's not a gigantic line for an hour and a half if you go there. It's getting better, you know, but you know, it seems to me that when hopefully we get a little bit more normal, that there has to be some much more detailed, rich conversations about basic stuff. You know, we spend a lot of time in Cambridge arguing about, you know, whether it's, you know, bike lanes or other things that are, you know, nice things, but not like absolutely essential things. And kind of hoping that we can actually really start thinking in terms of city planning about having a distribution of, you know, food resources and things that you can count on, you know, groceries accessible to everybody, regardless where you are.
Food for free has been phenomenal. And anyone that has any extra funds, I keep giving to them because I can't help out because of my age. I can't, you know, really volunteer anywhere. But they've been doing amazing work every day and getting the restaurants involved, get everyone. So Cambridge is trying to deliver. I mean, you know, you know.
Right. And not just the city of Cambridge, but the people of Cambridge.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
Trying to do whatever they can.
That's right.
You know, it'll be interesting to see whether some of these sort of community connection apparatus that are being created, if they actually carry on.
I think. Well, I think they've discovered some new networks and new avenues and ways to deal with things. And hopefully that knowledge will, you know, become part of something. Yeah.
Right. Maybe we in the future, we won't just be, you know, neighborhood listservs. We'll actually be networks that are actually cooperatively working to help everybody out.
Well, you know, they are. You've seen that. I mean, I've looked at, you know, I'm on the Cambridge Port. I get the porter and, you know, people are doing what they can.
Yeah. And hope, you know, some are engaging in politics, which really kind of gets me somewhat infuriated.
Yeah.
You know, like people are, you know, taking counts of how so-and-so voted on such and such a thing. Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that. And it actually brings me down when I see it.
I guess I don't get those listservs or whatever.
Yeah. You know, but no, it's a little, it throws me. It definitely throws me a little bit.
Oh, I think we'll go back to politics real easily. I mean, maybe not easily, but I think that's always going to be there. But,
you know, for years, I've made this big distinction between civics and politics, you know, the civic activity, sort of trying to do.
Well, they are. You're right.
there are different things. And to me, this is yet another thing that brought into focus is the difference between those who are civically active, the ones who are really, you know, stepping up to the plate, trying to do all the right things, you know, regardless of the politics, you know.
That's, you know, and then, that's a good distinction, Robert. Civics versus, you know, I like that. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's, again, it's sort of, it's like a lot of other things where, you know, it's an abstraction until you put to the test, and then it actually becomes a very, very real distinction.
Right. Yes.
It's very much been interesting throughout. Actually, one other thing, this is just sort of a personal thing that, you know, whenever it's kind of fun, you know, one of the things that I find kind of interesting is, you know, I'm actually going to just switch back here to the window here, just to highight what I was about to say here, right?
Oh,
which is just, you know, mine is kind of falling apart. Two doors away from me, they tore a building down some year that had been falling apart for years anyway.
Yeah.
And in a kind of a interesting way, every single day I get to watch them build a building.
Did they start it? I thought they could build it anyway.
Well, because it's a small project, that's another question that definitely deserves more discussion.
Yeah, they need to work on that one. Yeah.
They need to have a better set of exceptions here. But the thing is, so they went from a big hole in the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
In a matter of weeks, they put in foundations and slabs.
Wow.
And then they start building it up. And I get to look out my kitchen window and watch actual building take place.
So that must be the top floor there, right?
That's top floor, looking across top of
what is
Verismo. It going
to be? Looks like many units. What
well,
is
actually, I'll show you because the very last slide will show you that.
Oh, good.
So it goes up.
Yeah.
You know, they cut the windows out here.
Yeah.
And this is, I took a shot from today.
Goodness.
Watching
That's...
the building. But you know what the building is?
What?
It's actually a Buddhist group, and it's the future home of the Cambridge Center for Peace.
Wow, they must have some bucks. I don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe so. But, it, you know, there's something kind of symbolic and kind
that's
of refreshing
nice. Yeah.
that the building that's going up in my eclectic little neighborhood
with the
bicycle school,
right?
You know, and some of these other sort of odd things that normally under real economics don't even get a chance to exist.
That's really nice.
So I get to see this. And, you know, it's actually for me, it's... you know, it's a very refreshing thing.
I was just going to say, it's very refreshing that it's peace.
Yes, it's something related to peace. So
I just wanted, let's see, we have, it's 7:22, it's 7:23. We have 4 minutes left.
Four whole minutes left.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this turns out. I'm sure Seth will let us know because this was supposed to be a test, but maybe they'll air it. Who knows? I don't know.
So there's a couple of other things I'll just mention here.
Okay.
One is this sort of, you know, there's tragedy associated with this. And I have to say personally, my personal favorite songwriter, artist ever is John Prine.
John Prine, yep.
You know, so that was for me is the one tragedy that really kind of hit home the hardest for me.
You know, I wanted to do a karaoke to Angel from Montgomery and I never knew.
Yeah, it was wonderful song.
So,
yeah, I mean, Bonnie Raitt.
Someday I might do it.
Yeah. You know, another thing that's been kind of interesting, sort of shut in the indoors all the time, is that, you know, I have a tendency to pick up things over time, you know, books and whether it's history books of Cambridge.
Yeah.
But I also have I'm a big fan of alternative comics, you know, Robert Crumb, Zippy the Pinhead, and
that's not
plenty of other things. But I would, you know, I would buy things and even movies, and then I would buy them. Put them on the shelf saying, oh, I'll get to that.
And then
I would never get to that.
Yeah.
I've actually been reading some of these things and going through all these many things that have been basically collecting on the shelf. So
that's nice. I haven't done anything I'm supposed to do except like I have a quilt that I'm supposed to be working on for the last 10 years of my dad's ties and photos of him, which I've already put on fabric. And I still, so one of these days. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you know, might as well make good use of a bad time, you know.
Well,
lemonade out of the lemons.
I go for long walks every day. If I didn't do that, my mental health would be in the toilet. And, you know, I try to do what I can. I listen to webinars on recycling. I do that.
Right.
And so I am becoming an expert on everything COVID and recycling and waste reduction. But that's really, I enjoy that. Yeah. So I guess I don't know how this is going to turn out, like in terms of whether we do this once a week, a half hour or whatever.
We'll see. Yeah. You know, one last thing you'll point is to make is, you know, just like so many businesses have been terribly affected by this, whether it's restaurants and others. Yeah. I think about that every single day, including personal friends who are really kind of being put into a precarious situation financially, and just how we somehow navigate all of this so that good people somehow still come out intact. And, you know, the government has a role here. If ever there was a time for government to do right, this is definitely it.
Hopefully some of these programs, I mean, there's $2 trillion. I mean, who would ever thought that? So hopefully the people are getting the money, but it's the process. No one, I mean, this is really unprecedented. I hate to use that word, but that's what everyone says. I mean,
or unprecedented.
Yeah. Oh, too, I never thought of that. But,
you know, It does sort of point out to me, though, that just like the difficulty in delivering food and personal protection equipment, you know, the ability to actually deliver economic benefits that the Congress passes trillions. But the thing is that how that actually gets to where it needs to be.
I know. Did you get a check yet?
No.
Did you get a check?
No, not yet.
I mean, I haven't gotten anything.
Right.
Anyway. Hopefully, neither one of us have to do unemployment.
Yeah,
good.
So I think we're
all right. So we have like 7 seconds left.
All right.
Here.
So anyway, we'll hope to see y'all soon on Cambridge Inside Out.
Okay.